Today is the 8th of December 2022. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Unique Dhamma Code. We are at verse 21. We finish verse 20. Let us compose our mind. Develop the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagavan buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swagato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkha padang smadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang smadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will continue our chanting from the Patipapuja. Let us turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Okay, Patipapuja, offering of lights. Ganna sarpa tithena dupena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sukanghina. Pujae pujaniyam tam puja bhajana muttamam vanna ganda guno petam เอตังกุสุมาสันทติงปูเจามิมุนิทัสสะสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิปตังกุสุเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมิเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยะตาอิทังเมโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโภชนังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติคันหาตุมุตตมังนาวมิชาชันดาปุจจาเอสเปเรชันเบสออนนาวาอันเดอร์สแตนดิ้งออฟเดอะสิกนิฟิแคนซ์ออฟดิสปุจจาออฟเฟริงสิกนิฟิแคนซ์ออฟเฟริงออฟไลท์เมย์ดิสออฟเฟริงออฟไลท์ทูเดอะบุดดาบริงส์ฟอร์เดอะคอสเซสแอนด์คอนดิชั่นส์ทูอิลลูมิเนตอวร์มายด์And have arise that need a clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness and ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Tao that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth high and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma. So that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body. So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Betang puche tamang puche sangham puche me okay you all can be seated. Okay, as usual, we are off the light. Then you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Then silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness, means aware, that's all. When you are aware, there is no thought, no thinking, no aggregates of mind. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. So in this way, you will be able to decondition your heedless thinking because you do not allow the mundane mind to continue to dwell on whatever that arises within your form and mind. So relaxation leading to awareness nature within. Then the third support is of course stabilize the awareness. Once you can stabilize the awareness means you have progress. Your mind is more quiet, more still. So ability to be aware within is very important. This awareness nature is your true mind. Without thought, the true mind will arise. Always remember that. So don't try to know, don't try to do things. The trying is always by your thought. So relax, be at ease, then maintain the awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish, aware, finish. Then let the mundane mind settle down until it returns to its original state before the stirring, before the arising of thought process. This is how awareness can be built up. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. And I will send the 30 minutes alarm. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we shall turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhammasvanan kalo ayam padanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayam padanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayam padanta. Namo atassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vidyacharana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisadam sarati sattadeva manusana buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sandhitiko akaliko erhi paseko opanayiko chatang veditabo vinohiti subhatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Sammicchipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyakketam lokasamati sandhu. We shall continue from where we stop. Will add code, unique double code number 21. We have finished code number 20. Eh? So it's on page 7, unique code 21. You look at the whiteboard. Eh? I have indicated them. Eh? Code 21 describe what meditation is. The meditation as taught by the Buddha. Eh? Then code 22 is to understand truth. Truth is everywhere. Then code number 23 is the real samadhi, followed by code 24, which is understanding duality. Then code 25 is what constitutes right view. Then code 26 is on suchness. So all this title, they are very useful. You can develop the understanding, then you can progress. That's why the unique code is very unique in the sense that they define all this in the cultivation manner for people to understand. It's not just theory or an explanation of what that thing is, but in real cultivation, in real practice. So, take for example the first code, unique code number 21. If the meditation does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path of cultivation, then that is not the meditation or teaching as taught by Lord Buddha. So this particular understanding is very important because, like I always explain, what is the meditation taught by the Buddha? So a lot of people didn't have the clear understanding because to them, meditation involves a lot of methods, technique, object of meditation, and all the various type of description, which they label as meditation, like vipassana, to develop jnana, jhana, all these things. But if you look at the teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, then we will come to understand something very differently. The Four Noble Truths are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So, of the Four Noble Truths, if you were to look through them, you will come to understand there is only one, the Fourth Noble Truth, which describes clearly what meditation is. The First Noble Truth, as we all know, is the Noble Truth of dukkha, suffering, the eight reality, and how suffering arises when we confront this eight reality without an understanding. So that is not the meditation. That is to proclaim a truth, a reality. Then the second noble truth is whatever suffering that arises within the first noble truth reality, there is a cause behind. And this cause is sakkayadity, born of craving. Again, this one has nothing to do with the meditation as taught by the Buddha. He only described to you the cause of suffering. So after you know the cause, you still cannot get rid of it. Then the third noble truth is more unique. It says suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. Means nirvana can be realized. So first, second, and third noble truth, they are not meditation as taught by the Buddha. But the fourth noble truth is very unique. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, then it will lead to the end of all suffering. Which means this noble eightfold path is essentially the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this noble eightfold path is what you need. As a cultivator of the way, you can develop the embodiment of this noble eightfold path factor, and you become that quality. Means as a living being, we hold the embodiment of all this noble eightfold path factor, which means you have right views, which is wisdom, right understanding with regards to the law that governs life and existence, the Panchayamas. Then we have what we call right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort. Then finally is, of course, your right samadhi, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. Then the stability of it is right samadhi. Once you have this noble eightfold path, you are incapable of wrong thing or evil. And basically, noble eightfold path is sila, samadhi, and panya. Means you have precept leading to samadhi, then leading to wisdom. That's why noble eightfold path is the embodiment of the wisdom that is to be developed. That's why I call it the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So if you were to look at that quote, then you will understand why I always mention to you all, if the meditation that you are doing does not bring you back to the perfection of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then that is not the meditation or teaching as taught by the Buddha. So this is very clear, very obvious. So do not be gullible. Do not be like easily taken by what people tell you. You follow this method, this technique, Or you develop this type of object of meditation, it will lead to enlightenment, arahant, or those things. But basically, if you were to investigate into it, then you realize these are a series of instructions to meditate. But it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It's the series of instructions to do things, to train your mind, to become peaceful, calm, leading to, of course, all the possibility of yearning state, or they claim to have the ability to insight into phenomena, to become enlightened, to awaken. But to me, the series of instruction that you do following method, techniques, and object of meditation, they are all thought-based verbalization, are you? It's not awareness-based. It's not sati-based. So if you have to look at all those things, sometimes they may tell you they teach vipassana. They emphasize on the four foundations of mindfulness. But in the description of the method, technique, and the object of meditation, the four foundations of mindfulness are not there. All the Noble Eightfold Path factors are not there. So if you are not gullible, then you straight away will understand. Noble Eightfold Path is very important because the seven path factors, sati, covers the four foundations of mindfulness. And within the sutta, the Buddha actually explained it very clearly. He said, Ekayano Vikawe Piku means, oh man, this is the only way for the purification of mind, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So very clearly, without the four foundations of mindfulness, it cannot give rise to what the Buddha described. Then the other thing is also, you look at the Dhammapada verse 21 to 40. These are Dhammapada verses on Appamatta, heedfulness. Understanding heedfulness is very important. Verse 21 straight away confirmed to you. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. The heedful never die. So these are the understanding that you must develop. So we finish up in verse 21. If you got any question or anything that you want to ask, you can. You just put up your hand, then you can ask. Okay, so verse 21, is it clear? Clear. Verse 22, okay, let us read together. Truth, or the three universal characteristics of nature, is everywhere. It is in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they will always see. So this one I repeat many times already. So what is the meaning of truth? Truth is the way things are. Means anything that can explain to you the way things are, to let you understand what is happening within nature, within life, within existence. That is the truth. So according to the Buddha, truth means the reality. And this truth, they have very unique characteristics. The Buddha called it the universal characteristic of nature. So this word universal characteristics of nature is very important. Universal characteristic of nature. So as we all know, there are three. So the three universal characteristics of nature. They are anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So these three universal characteristics of nature are very, very unique in the sense that everything you come to experience within life, within existence, within yourself, your own form and mind, they exhibit these three universal characteristics. And when you can see this insight into this, then you awaken. Because you understand how things work. You understand truth. You understand reality. The first one is the Buddha said, anicca, means impermanent. What does he mean when he said there is this anicca? Anybody want to try? Why is it anicca or impermanent is a universal characteristic? Very good, yeah, sadhu. It's because our conditioned world is a world of cause and effect, condition dependent originating. Because of the fundamental understanding of this law of dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, that's why thing can never be a permanent unchanging entity. It is in a state of flux, evolving, appearing and disappearing. And most of the time it appears sustainable and passing away. That's why we have the three phase, four phase, or the five phase of the phenomenon. So you extend it further, then it becomes five. Otherwise, it's always the arising, sustaining, and the passing away. You look at your footstep when you walk. Arise, then that movement is a sustaining. Then when you step down, it's the cessation, means the ending of that phenomenon, means arise, sustaining, and passing away. But in meditation, in daily mindfulness, when you are cultivating, you must see this moment to moment. At that moment when it arises, it's sustaining, everything is in sati, and it's passing away also in sati. Unless you see it that way, you can never awaken. That's why that one will only happen when there is no thought. When you are fully aware and mindful, means the awareness and the phenomena move as one, then you will come to realize everything is like that. Every activity, every movement, every phenomenon, whether it's physical phenomena, nature's phenomena, or your mental phenomena, they exhibit these characteristics of anicca. So this is what cultivation is all about. You need mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So just now I tried to explain the importance of heedfulness. If you don't have Noble Eightfold Path factor or sati, you can never train your mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to follow Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23 says, constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Means when you combine the two, ever mindful, constantly meditative, you will be heedful. So what it means is constantly meditative is constantly developing the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. And ever mindful is to train your mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to become ever mindful. So the moment you are heedful, aware, ever mindful, constantly meditating, you can see this universal characteristic very clearly. That's why this one is not thought-based. This one is not a knowledge. It's not a doing. It's just the nature in silent awareness, observe and awaken. That's why when you are silent without thought, you can insight into phenomena. You can awaken. So wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not from the thought process. Wisdom need to be realized. Remember, wisdom need to be realized through what? Through an awakening. I better write down. Wisdom is to be realized through an awakening. So here awakening means either you insight the phenomena or you awaken the phenomena. So this one need the silent mind, need the awareness nature. It need to be very stable in order for you to awaken, to insight the phenomena. Then the moment you can see this anicca, you will realize anatta straight away, because you will know that this is dependent originating. Everything move following causes and conditions. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises. And thing is just the way it is. When condition is such, the phenomena will be such, can never be otherwise. So this is how the silent mind, mindfulness, the awareness will allow the cultivator the way to insight in the phenomena and to awaken. And this one is not a knowledge. You cannot read about it. You cannot go and analyze reason using the thought process. Well, that one can give you some form of knowledge. But it's not the real wisdom. The real wisdom, when you awaken to it, you can handle life. You can understand it clearly. And nothing in this world can cause you suffering. Because you will come to know why the Buddha taught anicca. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, following the law of dependent origination, suffering will be the result. Like he taught in the first Noble Truth Reality. When you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. Means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then the third one is, of course, a direct consequence of the first. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it cannot be called self. It's not you. It's not an entity. That's why the Buddha knew, even though it's not self, but it's also not completely no self. Understand? No self is not a permanent unchanging entity. Then the other one is the form and mind is anicca, dukkha, anatta. Means not a permanent entity. But there is such thing as a form and mind. There is such thing as phenomena. There is such thing as life. That's why when you come to this understanding, this one go beyond non-self. Anatta is just not only non-self, but empty nature of existence. So this understanding is very important. When you know it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you cannot cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be owned by me. No such thing. That's why it's called non-self. Non-self doesn't mean self or no self. The first one is not a permanent unchanging entity means there is they call it self. So self is a wrong view, wrong concept. So self and no self, I better write it down. Otherwise, it can become quite confusing. One is self. The other one is no self. The last one is non-self. So if you look at the first concept, self, here it means permanent unchanging entity. You have complete control. You can tell your body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It means forever eternal. Yeah. Does not tend towards suffering or sick. Yeah. Permanent unchanging entity. You can have control. But in life, you know, the physical body don't have such capability. Then no self means totally no existence, nothingness. That's why the Buddha said these two are still wrong view. So these two are still wrong view. Only this one is right view. Non-self means it's not a self, but it's not no self. Because there are things that arise in existence, in life, and there is such thing as a human being, living being. There is such a thing as phenomena. So this understanding of the non-self, what they call explanation of life and existence, is a very, very new concept taught only by the Buddha. Before that, these two, one is annihilism and one is self. These two are very commonly accepted, especially before the time of the Buddha, during the early civilization of the Hindu civilization. In India, they believe there is a super Atman, the ultimate self. Then some, they say, die already, everything is gone. No self. But the conditioned world has its own conditioned number. Because of that, the Buddha knew there is an intermediate explanation to counter these two. But these two cannot explain the way things are. So when he introduced the concept of non-self, it's very difficult for a living being to understand, even cultivator of the way. Because on the one hand, he keep on explaining to us about anicchang, dukkang, anatta. He know you, he know me. That's why non-self. But on the other hand, when it comes to condition dhamma, the law of karma, the fifth contemplation, is that we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, condition and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So we think the Buddha contradicted himself, but no, he didn't. Why? Because what he taught is the condition dhamma. When it comes to conditioned dhamma, the form and mind is subject to the law of karma. Understand? And because it's subject to the law of karma, it exists. There is such a thing as you. Yeah, that form and mind is an entity, but not a permanent and changing entity. That's why the enlightened beings, the Aryas, even the Sotapanna, when they awaken, they will know this one is not me. They will know it's not them. Like I used to tell you, this one you all call brother Theo or my form and mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for my nature to arise within the conditioned world, within this segment of my nature's life. So this one will be dependent originating. It will arise, sustain itself, then it will cease. That's why there is such a thing as parinibbana. But whatever that happened within the conditioned world, especially if you have understood the bodhisattva way, that segmented form and mind that come, even though it's anatta, there is such a thing as a living being, a human being. There is such a thing as life existence. That's why this teaching is very powerful, very unique. And there is no other universal teacher or great beings that have this type of understanding apart from the Sammasambuddha, who actually re-expounded the Dhamma after Sakyamuni arrived 2,600 years ago. So this understanding of anicca, dukkha, anatta is the real cultivation, not the theory, not the knowledge one that you read, not the one that people use to promote or hold on to. In fact, these three universal characteristics, very few people can really insight into it and awaken and develop the awakening. So clear, yeah? Clear now. If you have any question, you can ask. Then the next one is verse 23. Unique Dhamma code verse 23. The real samadhi. Now, what is the real samadhi? When you say you have developed samadhi. So samadhi, of course, got two types. But what we are referring here is about ability to live life. So what is it? Okay, look at the code. Then we read together. Huh? The real samadhi. Ability to have the meditative silent mind while in the midst of life is real samadhi. So now you understand why the meditative silent mind, which is your awareness nature within, is most important. Without this, you cannot be heedful. So when you have the real samadhi, it cannot be like affected. Means that mundane mind has that stability of mindfulness, or we call samadhi. So that at the moment of sense experience, when it arises within any of the six senses, any of the six senses, whether at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, the mind does not stir. That is real samadhi. Understand? Means the collected and unwavering mind. Without wisdom, then you need something else to keep it in that state. That's why the other type of meditation, thought-based one, they develop one-pointedness, leading to jhanas. That one also can have stability of samadhi. But that type of samadhi is not the one that is born of a free mind. They have the wisdom. The samadhi that is born of the free mind with the wisdom, the Buddha called it upeka, the seven enlightenment factor. So I write it now. Yeah? So the real samadhi equals upeka. Double P or single P. Yeah? One P, yeah? So this upeka means equals to samadhi in concentration. So this samadhi is without wisdom, right? In concentration or is a conditioned state or conditioned state. So this type of samadhi is not the real samadhi. Huh? I better write the other way around. Samadhi in concentration or conditioned state is not the real samadhi. So this one, upekkha, is samadhi with wisdom. When you have samadhi with wisdom, this one is a short form. I better write the full words, otherwise people may not understand. Samadhi with wisdom is upekkha. Okay? Whereas samadhi in concentration or a conditioned state is not the real samadhi in concentration or conditioned state. It's not the real samadhi. Okay, so this one I think we have to be careful. Huh? Okay. Okay. So the real samadhi is the normal samadhi, but with wisdom, or we call it samadhi of a free mind. Means you can have a free mind in samadhi, then that is the real samadhi, upekkha. Okay? So always remember when you develop your meditation, do not go into concentration. Do not go into the so-called jhanic factors or jhana. You can experience them, no harm. But do not go into it because the Buddha's two teachers, Uddaka and Pallara, both also did the eight jhana, but they are not enlightened. And the Buddha actually developed the training under them. He also realized all the eight jhana is like of equal to him, but he knew he is still not enlightened. He knew he has not realized what he was going all out to seek. That's why when they invite him to be teacher of equal to teach, he rejected the offer and he said, "Never mind, I will continue with my own investigation or training." So the Buddha moved on. When the Buddha moved on, the five ascetics that follow him, they thought he must be not serious or what, because they saw him slowly start to eat and other things. Because he realized if you don't avoid the two extremes, you cannot free your mind. You have to avoid the two extremes, means self-mortification and sensual indulgence. That's why he decided to take food, sustain his body, so that he can meditate like when he was young, as a child, during the harvesting festival. Then he went into the first jhana, which is with all the five jhanic factor, but not strong. There is still thought. That's why there is still applied thought, sustained thought. They are not like as you move up the jhana, the jhanic factor, the first two, three, and four, they get relinquished. But he didn't go deeper. He went into the first jhana, which is we call it upacara samadhi. He has not gone into apana samadhi. Once you go into second jhana onward, it's apana samadhi. Okay, so all this understanding, when you have developed them, you will be able to handle the cultivation much better. Otherwise, it's easy to go wrong and to deviate. Okay? So the next one is verse 24. Yeah. This verse 24 is a consequence of what I have explained and what we have gone through. So now we read together. Huh? Understanding duality. The moment one can accept the reality of the moment, one doesn't create the duality of right and wrong, good and bad, etc., to stir the mind. This is how mind activity can cease and return to its original state of inner peace, inner silence, stillness, and tranquility before its stirring. So now you can appreciate why this quote is called unique quote. Because this one comes from somebody who had the realization and understanding. So when you understand how duality comes about, then you will have this understanding. As long as you cannot accept the reality of the moment, then you don't have that understanding or wisdom. Because you cannot see things as they are, then you will create duality. Means good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, ugly and beautiful, and all that. Say, why do we stir our mind? Because we get entangled with life, we get entangled with phenomena. But please don't get the Buddha wrong. It doesn't mean you cannot appreciate beauty. You cannot appreciate the opposite of beauty. You see, the teaching is very unique. What the Buddha taught is, do not be deluded by it. Like good food, if there is condition you can have, you should have it. Where this is your parami. Yeah. But do not indulge. Do not attach. Do not cling. Do not crave. No delusion to grasp, cling, and attach. That is the teaching. So do not be gullible and think once you are enlightened, you cannot have craving. Means craving for good food, craving for money. Of course, the word craving is correct. But it's the other extreme of delusion. When there is condition to have, it's not craving. Understand? The Buddha also, when invited to the palace or the rich man's abbot or their whatever dana, he still eat. He still developed the understanding. And when he go for pindapat, he told his disciple or you should not choose whatever food that is allowable. If it's offered, then you can accept it and have it. But if it's not allowable, you should tell them. Like I remember last night, Jayantra, when he went for pinapa, if he suspect, because he is vegetarian at that time, if he suspect that it's non-vegetarian, then he will ask the person who offer, is this meat or is this non-vegetarian. Then he said, it's okay, I cannot accept. Then the other one, if he know it's cure for him, he also does not accept. So he is in a way hateful to the extent. That's why when you have this understanding, you become different. So understanding duality is to have wisdom. When you have wisdom, you will not be deluded by duality. But you must understand, duality exists within the conditioned world. Do you understand that? Yeah? Because within our conditioned world, within life, there is always duality. Duality is unavoidable. But this duality is meant for existence, for living, for life. So you have to go beyond to understand all this. That's why we have the three levels of seeing. The first seeing is mundane seeing. See mountain as mountain, Kan San, Si San. Then the second level of seeing is the direct seeing, Kan San, Bu San. That's why you see beyond the form. You see beyond words, beyond concept. But the third level of seeing is when you awaken, when you have understood all this, you become normal again. That is supramundane seeing. Kan san, yu si san. Means in the world of condition, the condition world, people talk about duality. You can also accept. You can also understand. You can also be part of the community. So this part is the understanding. But the wise one, the awakened one, they will know. The moment one can accept the reality of the moment, then one does not create the duality of right and wrong to stir the mind, good and bad, etc., to stir the mind. This is how, listener, your mind activity can cease, means the sankhara activity and movement, and return to its original state of inner peace, inner calmness, stillness, silence, and tranquility before the stirring, means your true mind, your silent mind. So this understanding is very important. Unless you have this understanding, you cannot go beyond. Because according to the Buddha, he said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. What does he mean? Actually, this statement is very powerful. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Just like now, at this moment. Whatever that happened, how you all come to the club, how we have dinner and all that, how sweet are maybe home came, all the conditions are already there. Understand not? Set already. Cannot be otherwise. Understand not? Then how you all listen to my sharing. Everything is fixed. It cannot be otherwise. If you cannot accept this reality, then you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. That's why wisdom comes from understanding all this. Means when you can accept, the moment you can accept the reality of the moment, you do not create duality. Means you have wisdom. Okay? So hopefully this is clear. Well, now we are going to cultivation. That's why I'm going to all this. The next unit code is right view. What is right view? This one also about cultivation. We read together, read it aloud. When one can accept people for what they are so that it can go in, and the world as the world, then there is right view. There is wisdom because things are just the way they are, following nature's law. This is what I explained, understand not? Condition like that, things will be like that. That's why people are just the way they are. They are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. And the world is the world, like what we explained. How we come together and have this class and the dinner offered by Pamasri and Bratium before the class start. They are all sad. And because they are all sad, this will be the outcome, the phenomenon. That's why I think it's just the way it is. The world is the world. And living beings are just the way they are. So you can have this understanding and be at peace with the reality, then there is right view. There is wisdom. So clear, huh? Okay, the next one, the last code. Code 26. I put there the title as suchness. Yeah? Yeah. What is suchness? Ves the reality. Ta ta ta. Only mindful observation. Mindful means the silent mind in awareness. Without clinging or rejecting means no duality. Oh, sorry, I went ahead. Sorry, go back 26. Ability to see things as they are means one can understand that nature is suchness. This is the one. So it all tie up with the similar understanding. Once you can insight into the phenomena and understand all this, then you will understand. To have this ability to see things as they are means one can understand that nature is suchness, means the reality. Everything is already set based on causes and conditions that arises within the moment. That's why every moment thing arise, every moment thing passes away. Following what? Nature's law. Pancha Niyama that governs life and existence. When you understand this, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. And this is basically what the Dhamma is. Then I put in bold letter. For things are just the way they are within the conditioned world. That's why it is a conditioned world. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, like what Padmasri mentioned earlier on. And everything within it are causal phenomena and condition arising Dhamma. When conditions are such, all of that, things will be like that. So now, hopefully, these are clear. This word become clearer and clearer. Okay? So, the last part is very important. For things are just the way they are within the conditioned world, and everything within it is what? Causal phenomena. Means this phenomena arise because of causes and conditions. That's why it's called a causal phenomena. Then the other one is condition arising Dhamma. This is all Paticca-samuppada, law of dependent originating. Means he know you, he know me, nobody behind. Everything is just the way it is, dependent originating. That's why this teaching is also very unique. Only the Buddha can have the wisdom to realize it. Well, when he saw this Paticca-samuppada, then he realized you don't need to believe in a permanent God or permanent unchanging entity, to explain all this. All this can be explained just by direct seeing, direct observation. And you can awaken to it. That's why the Buddhist teaching is not something very philosophical or what they call esoteric type. It can be realized, can be understood, but only by the wise, each for themselves. That's why you must have the silent mind, the awareness nature within to awaken. So hopefully by now you would have understood without mindfulness, without stability of sati, there is no way you can develop the meditative awakening, especially the turning. Okay? Okay, so we stop here. Oh, almost 9:50, I think just nice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any question? Yeah. Think that up. Very clear.
Well, Theo, actually, nothing much to report. It's just every time I listen, like tonight, I think the understanding goes a little bit deeper.
Yeah, deeper and deeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nowadays, what I share is the cultivation part. I do not dwell on theory anymore. In the past, I had to introduce the topic and teach you all the essential Dhamma and basic understanding. Now, that's why I call it the unique Dhamma code, because they are really unique. In the past, you all didn't understood why it's unique, because it summarizes the essence of cultivation. It's not describing the Dhamma. It summarizes the essence, means the understanding of the cultivation. Means how do you develop the cultivation to have this type of wisdom awakening? And it's all back to sati, mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. Without this, unless your past is very strong, you don't stand a chance. Like the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness in the midst of life, you don't stand a chance. Really true. Very good. Continue.
And I think I appreciate the beauty of this sati in the daily life. And as things happen, as simple as the birth, the old age, sickness and death, which we, you know, we memorize, is that. But
you start to become sensitive, you start to see them happening.
And when things happen, you know, you really, really appreciate the the feeling, the emotions, and
how the mundane mind stir and get entangled without the Dhamma, without the true understanding.
And
because the attachment to the self, sakayadity, is very strong for most people, even cultivator of the way, the so-called cultivator of the way, unless they have awakened. Otherwise, that sakayadity, self-delusion, is still very strong. They will still hold. They will still become afflicted. There is still what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Maybe not to the extent of deluded people or heedless people who don't have the Dhamma. But most people, before they have the understanding and the awakening, they will be affected.
I just, you know, like really the appreciation of just how important the sati is in our daily life. Thank you. I just appreciate that.
Okay. Anybody else? You can nominate somebody.
That's the difficult part.
We still got quite a number here.
who hasn't reported? Oh, okay. Sorry, Sister Padmasuri.
Okay. Pass to her, Actually, it's good news. How soon? You don't nominate is how soon. Otherwise, me, you're not going to express.
Good evening, Brother Mrs. Steele, and Kayananitas. Thank you, Sister Mifong, for nominating me, even though I didn't look at her.
I was prompted.
Actually, for me recently, for my personal cultivation, I look at it more like doing my duties.
Very good.
My duty as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, as a Kayanamita, as a student. From moment to moment, I look at things from moment to moment, and I don't really plan very long. very long ahead. It's like I just flow with the condition. And another experience is I find that the best way to check our own Sakaya Ditti or how we stir is when we are driving. That's the time we can see how we react to all kinds of traffic situations.
You tend to be more impatient when you are driving.
And when you are driving, for example, when we are using the same road, sometimes we can see that there are places, there are points that drivers cannot cut in from the right because there are skaters there, or for the right turning they cannot cut in because that is not the lane. The next day when you go to that particular point, you will try to avoid that lane, and we can see how our mind react according to memory. Oh, yesterday I stuck here because people cut in the other side. So today I must make sure I'm not in this lane. That's how we act according to our memory.
Yeah, that's why you are mindful then. When you are mindful that time, you can see all this. You turn it back, turn it back. Yeah. When you are mindful that time, you can see how you retrieve from memory and use your memory to act. So acting according to memory, I always say, is not acting at all. Why? Because before you become enlightened, the memory is full of rubbish. So this acting according to memory, you don't worry. Initially, you will continue to do it. You know why? These are habitual tendencies. Because you based on memory, based on your conditioning, and based on what you have gone through in life, then you recall, like you say, oh, this lane, last time people cut in from here before. But sometime when you have the wisdom ready, you understand already, then you will know how to act. Like today, PG is supposed to come and arrive very late. But because I remember one of the lane always get trouble. So I told PG, don't follow this lane. Otherwise, you wait very long, they cut in. Cut in, but not cut people's lane. You just move lane. There are three lanes. After that, clear all the way. But reach your school there, jam again. But PG said, see liao. Because the school there, you know, normally already two lane. Parallel, people already parallel at that turn. The parallel also line up until before the school compound over the other side. But luckily, the traffic cleared quite fast. So we didn't get stuck there for long. So this acting according to memory, don't worry. Initially, it's, like I said, habitual tendency. But later on, with wisdom, you become sensitive, then you know how to use it, understand? Because memory is required for you to live life, understand? What the Buddha is trying to ask you to avoid is the psychological memory. You understand? You know what is psychological memory? The emotional one, understand? Like your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever. Deep resentment or hatred, you know, these are all negative psychological memory. So why do you want to arise that? Even your cunningness, your selfishness, your possessiveness, you want to control things and you want things your way. All these are negative tendencies, psychological in nature. So when you act according to this psychological memory, which is normally negative in its tendency, like you act according to your selfishness, your cunningness, your greed, your phobia, your fear, your desire, your insecurity, all this will bring about negativity or karma. So memory, there are a few types. Psychological memory. Okay. That one you have to use, understand? Right? You need to know where you stay, your address, your bank, how you sign your signature and all things. There are a lot of mechanical memory that is needed, understand? Like to study and all those things, you need mechanical memories. And these are non-psychological. So memory has its function, has its usage. That's why they call memory, they separate memory into two. So one is psychological memory, which is very dangerous. Before you become enlightened, psychological memory, people cannot deal with it. Because especially depression, phobia, stress, and all those things, they cannot handle. There's a lot of people succumb to critical disease, like cancer and all those things. Do you realize when you don't have stress, your mind more peaceful, more quiet, more calm, and you can accept things better? You seldom hear this type of people having cancer. You realize that. Whereas all those people who don't have the Dhamma and the meditation on them, of course, there are also a lot with the Dhamma and the meditation, so-called Dhamma, also get into stress. But I realize most Kayamita don't have problem. Do you realize that? Most of them don't have problem. But outside, very common, no, cancer. You hear from Jayanta enough, really. So many people can now, some quite young and all those things. And like this type of disease is mainly contributed by your stress, your emotion, your fear, your insecurity, your depressive thought, and all those things. So this is how your cell mutate. Because these are negative psychological memory, negative emotion, especially fear. When you have stress means you have fear, you have insecurity, then you hold on to problem, your sorrow, your lamentation, all this actually condition your negativity, make you depressive. Then the other thing is your phobia. The phobia that go in, living being cannot understand. You accumulated already. Then when there is sign or condition, it will trigger off. And when it trigger off, it's very intense. I don't know whether you have weaknesses or not. I've seen it in many people. You see them suddenly, that thing trigger off, the intense phobia. They panic and they shriek. So, you talk about psychological memory, which is very good. Means your mindfulness has improved. You have started to observe all these things. But please, Pamasri, you got one weakness. You like to reason. And you like to analyze after that. Don't understand. Huh? Mindful, aware, no reaction. Like just now in one of the quote. Understand? Huh? Don't go and create duality. Understand? Aware, understand, finish. So that the Sankara does not move. Then when the Sankara does not move so often, you will have more and more moment of peace, more and more moment of calmness. Then your sati will stabilize. Means space between thought becomes more and more, more and more. Then that tranquility, that silence, the mindfulness, will actually start to stabilize. Then during that time, when your daily mindfulness become very stable, you can insight into phenomena, like just now I mentioned, the three universal characteristics. You will see by itself. It will awaken by itself. No need to do anything. As long as you are mindful throughout the day, suddenly anything can trigger. Sometimes, thunderstorm or severe heavy rain or what, suddenly you will awaken. Or sometimes the cup drop, cracking sound, you will awaken. Like she, the hand can open. Then even Ajahn Chah, remember, he was resting after he do the walking meditation. He was sitting down there. In his book, he shared, Suddenly, the village, not too far away, they were having some celebration, I don't know what name. Then he heard the drums and all those things. Then all of a sudden, the mind went in because of that. Then he experienced that nature inside. Then when he come out of it, he himself said, after that, he understood everything. Yeah, he realized that nature, Wunian, the true mind, the silent mind, because they were very, very consistent in their cultivation of mindfulness. That's why he also teach mindfulness. So when it comes to cultivation, as long as you maintain mindfulness, stabilize it, you will awaken. Anytime it can happen. Sometimes even when you develop the contemplation, the first turning, second turning, or when you hear some truth, it will also trigger off. And these are possible. Okay? So for your case, don't use sankhara so much. Understand? Okay. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Like what I described just now. Don't allow it to proliferate. When you are doing your formal meditation, your sitting or whatever, even daily mindfulness, your sati should be stabilized until the phenomenal and your sati become one, nasana, until whatever you see is specific phenomenal awareness, like the moving car. Means your awareness and the thing move as one. Then you look at the plant, the tree, you listen to the breeze, the nature. Your awareness is with that thing, like the moving branches and the leaf and all those movement during rain or normal windy day. Even without wind, you look at the still nature. You can see your sankhara movement. And that one is mental phenomena. That outside external is nature's phenomena. But whatever you observe, because it's the silent mind, is one with the mental phenomena, means your thinking, your thought process, or the nature's phenomena, or your physical body's physical phenomena. You are one with it. That's why I call it specific phenomenal awareness. When your awareness is one with all of nature's phenomena, physical and mental, then that is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. Initially is kaya. Kaya is physical phenomena, including mental phenomena, but that mental phenomena is the mindfulness of the sankhara mind movement and activity. So that one you can include under citta nupassana. But vedana is actually not easy to comprehend. Because vedana happen within that moment. When that contact arise, actually there is feeling. But that pure feeling without wisdom, without the upekkha mind and the understanding behind, you cannot be with the feeling. That's why your aggregates will become grasping aggregate. It can never be pure feeling, non-grasping. So that part, initially be patient, cultivate it. Yeah. Then after that, when your kaya nupassana, especially kaya nupassana and your citta nupassana, of course, feeling, you have to go through it to understand it. Once these three stabilize, develop deeper wisdom, then Dhamma Nupassana keep on arising. The Dhamma keep on arising, keep on happening in life, in nature. You keep on understanding. Dhamma is everywhere. What is Dhamma? Dhamma is truth, isn't it? That's why truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Or those who see, they always see. Then the universal characteristic, everything. Anicca, dukkha, anatta, they are all there. This is what truth is. This is what Dhamma is. So this understanding will unfold. That's why stability of mindfulness is very, very important. Without that, you cannot develop the cultivation. The moment the mind try to know or want to know, then it has been drawn away. But later on, after you have stabilized the understanding, then you want to like develop further stability, then you can contemplate, you can reflect. At that time, different. But you will know during that time, it is not analysis. It is not reasoning, where the Sankara is very active one. No more already. He is silent, aware, and is contemplative. He just inquire, throw the thing out, reflect, contemplate. Then that nature, creative nature, manifests and let you understand. And within that moment, you can also awaken. This is called the second turning wisdom. So most people need the second turning wisdom to stabilize your understanding. But the third turning one, the silent mind one, the direct seeing one, the insight into phenomena and the awakening one, means seeing things as they are one, you need the stability of sati. You need to do bhavana maya panya, means the four foundations of mindfulness. Yeah. So that one is very, very potent, very stable. The moment you awaken, it's very penetrative. You no longer have any doubt. Straight away you understand. Right? It's like you wake up, like Ajahn Chah said, after that he understood everything. So be patient, develop the understanding, and allow things to be. Then whatever will be, will be. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, you continue. Yeah.
Thank you, Ratio.
Ratio,
I have a question
okay.
About this upeka. Ratio, this can Ratio please explain that this real samadhi upeka, is it the same as the upeka in the four Brahma viharas?
So I have earlier explained. So upeka got two types. That's a lot. So whether it's the four Brahma Vihara state or the seven factors of enlightenment taught by the Buddha, you have to understand only one very important fundamental understanding. The four Brahma Vihara, that upeka, may be the mind that is unwavering, collected, understand not, but not supported by wisdom. So supported by what? Energy field, condition state. It's not a free mind. Understand, if it's not a free mind, it is not the upeka of the seven factors of enlightenment. The seven factor of enlightenment is always after samadhi, the sixth factor of enlightenment. Because with samadhi, you can see things as they are and awaken. You can insight into phenomena. So that samadhi is required. So that samadhi is at the moment of sense experience, your mind, means the mundane mind, doesn't waver, understand? It's not stirred. And you need some form of understanding to stabilize to that. That's why when you cultivate sati, when sati stabilizes, you start to develop initial understanding. The initial awakening of the Dhamma means, I always use the word, the initial wisdom. They will arise first. Then with the initial wisdom, they actually make your samadhi more stable. More stable, understand? But it has not stabilized to a level where you can free, where you don't need samadhi to free. It cannot. That's why during that time, they still need to cultivate. Otherwise, that samadhi will not be there once they get old, get sick, and the physical body actually loses the ability to enter those states. Because you have a limitation to the physical body. That's that. As you age until like 80-something, 90-something. A lot of things your physical cannot handle already. You want to stay in that state, you can already. So during that time, those who do jhana energy, if you want, they will experience the suffering. The last time when they are in that condition state, very strong jhanic experience, they got no problem. Their equanimity very strong. They like enlightened. But once they deteriorate, then as they reach old age, the fear, the worry, the anxiety start to arise. Then they realize they are still not yet because they haven't rooted out the what they call mental hindrance, which has been suppressed by the jhana, by the energy field. So these are the people who will be affected. So when you cultivate the four Brahma Vihara, initially most people do it without wisdom. They just radiate metta. Then they develop compassion also through verbalization, thought-based nasa. Then they rejoice. Of course, rejoicing is from the heart. Okay? Rejoicing can be very powerful. That's why they say you can enter jhana by doing the four Brahma Vihara. When your metta very strong, when your karuna very strong, when your mudita very strong, you can enter jhana. Then when your upekkha also very strong, you can also enter jhana. So they all realize upekkha through the fourth jhana. The fourth jhana is one-pointedness. They relinquish the applied thought, sustained thought, piti and sukha. They stay at one-pointedness. That's why the mind unshakable, conditioned state. Very strong. So that one is not the enlightenment factor, but it's also called upekkha. Understand? So upekkha, there are two types, like samadhi. Samadhi, born of energy field, is also in upekkha, like just I explained. Okay? But samadhi, supported by wisdom, I use the word supported by wisdom, will lead to upekkha. So, means the mind, because it has wisdom, even as it grows old, the body very weak, about to die, or what, a lot of things become like very difficult to endure. But that being, no problem. The mind is not affected. Understand? That's why you look at the Jataka story. A lot of these monks, when they grow old, when they were about to experience the reality of old age sickness, and finally, of course, death, and they know they wouldn't die. But they still feel that thing, but their mind not affected, understand? Then you know what the Buddha recommended to the disciple. Go and chant the Satta Bhujanga. You know what is Satta Bhujanga? The seven factor of enlightenment. So they will chant. Once they chant, where they realize the enlightenment before, that joy will actually have overcome whatever condition that make you feel. It's just like when you are enduring those state of mind, like I explained to you last time when I was sick, I like to find out. I like to investigate. I just find out. I endure. My mind is not affected at all. No matter how, it's not affected at all. But it still have to endure. Yeah. But if I don't want to endure, I go into the stillness. I relax, meditate, and I go into the stillness. Yeah. That is also one way. The other one is I contemplate the Dhamma. Yeah. Then that joy, that understanding will actually become very beautiful. Yeah. Then it become like more... more conducive. That's why what I would suggest is instead of chanting the Satta Bhujanga, because it's in Pali, and only cultivator of the way can have the understanding. What you need to do is, if Dhamma practitioner go to that for sake of what, you go and see them, whether he or she talk Dhamma to them. They will recover. They become very different. Then they got a lot of joy. The energy all come back. Dhamma is the food for your physical. Understand? When there is Dhamma, the physical body becomes different. Yeah. Because Dhamma can give rise to that type of what they call piti, that joy. Yeah. It's an enlightenment factor. Yeah. Then Dhamma will allow one to investigate and develop the joy. Then experience the panya. Then all these are very conducive. Okay? So that question that you ask, after I explain, it will become clear. Yeah? But what you need to understand is, at this moment when you ask, it's actually an academic question. Because you cannot understand yet until you go through. Yeah. Because you can see the two very different. When I remember in the uni, the first time I went there, the first night I went to Chief Reverend's talk, I came back, I sat, I don't know how to meditate. I went into it for 4 hours. After that, my mind has that equanimity, that strong energy, you know, like the heart there, like a cylinder of energy. Nothing can move me. So I thought that was eternity. Yeah. But then I realized that one is a conditioned state. That's why later on in my cultivation, after I come out to work, then only I realized when I start to touch money, then I realized I still got desire and craving to do all this. Oh. Then I realized because I was not meditating so often in the anapanasati that go into the absorption, the strong absorption. So because of that, I had to wait till I met Master Xuan Hua, then Achayantra. He was the one that repeated many times about mindfulness, sati. Then he said the highest meditation. We choose away everything, every action, every movement in the present moment. The moment I heard that as the highest meditation, then I realized I have not done it. Yeah, I expect him to say something very fantastic, but it turned out so simple, so direct. And this is the highest meditation, just imagine. Just aware, mindful, every moment, every instant in the present moment. So simple, one sentence. Then I start to check. I hardly aware throughout the day, less than 5 minutes. Because what I did was, I checked with a free mind. I didn't go into anapanasati. If I go into anapanasati, I can hold that calmness, that concentration for the entire day if I want to, if I keep on doing anapanasati. But there is a conditioned state. There is apana samadhi, which I went in too deep when I was in the university. Especially the first year, second year, I meditate a lot. I meditate a lot. Then third year, of course, more free time because we got our third year training. So we were like released from the campus for one or two semester. I forgot already. I think one. The third year practical training was very good. I think 5 or 6 months, I think. I was sent to Kuala Selangor. That's how I came to Johor. I was doing the JKR bridge, Kuala Selangor bridge. So all this, you will come to understand. Okay? Sadhu.
Sadhu, thank you, Brian.
Yeah, sadhu. So 3 more minutes, I think we end. Thank you. Let us rejoice with the good sharing by Mifong and also Pamasuri. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Let us share merits and transfer merits. Akasata ce bumata devanaka mahintika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakan duk sasana ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodanti Sapa sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetoja. Pito bhavatu lokoja. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then I still got two things to add. Just like I wanted to write when Padmasri was doing the sharing. He said her cultivation is like doing her duty, which is very good. In fact, my teacher Achanyantra, he shared this. You remember this, huh? Oh, very good. Wow, Alicia Sadhu. Right, duty. Is right Dhamma. This one is very important. When you do your duty well, you will have the Dhamma. Those without Dhamma cannot perform their worldly duties because you don't understand the law of karma and all those things. Then Pocheng is still there. Yeah, okay. Maybe this message is mainly for Pocheng and the rest. Don't buy the etiquette for when I'm doing, because we are going to either reschedule or cancel the trip, because I came to know a lot of Kayamita have already committed themselves with their own spiritual trip to other places during that period. Then for Padmasri and Bratim is because they're waiting for China to open up anytime. They can visit their daughter or ask their daughter to come back. Maybe it's too long. Then the others say, nobody put their name. I also don't want to put my name. Then PG say, she been there already. Then a few Kayamita must have been there because according to PG, there is the nearest Southeast Asian country where you can go. So all these are the reason why people have not filled up. Because a lot of Kayamita, when I was here, also they asked me, SAPG, but why like that? I said, I don't know. I have to find out. But now we make the decision. We have 3 days. Tomorrow is the deadline. So in Padmasri, please inform we will not go for this trip, but tell him, don't worry, we may fix another day, or when China open up, we prefer to go China. So when conditions settle down, then we see how it goes. Anyway, thank you for the feedback. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good.